You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Okay, let's talk about the Flopcast.
Where every week we drink a lot of coffee and we talk about comic books,
movies,
conventions,
music,
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, don't forget the coffee.
Lots of weird, obscure pop culture stuff from the 70s and 80s.
And chickens. Yeah, chickens.
This will be the stupidest half hour of your week.
We guarantee it.
You can find us on the ESO Network.
And Flopcast.net.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted, including those of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast? I need my weekly dose of sci-fi news with movie and TV reviews and commentary.
We intercepted no transmissions! This is a consular ship!
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
Sorry, I was indisposed.
I will give it a moment to air out, if you know what I mean.
Who needs the ambassador? I thought I heard someone call out for me. What in the bloody hell did you do to Ramus? Speak up! Which one of those chest buttons calls your supervisor? You imbecile.
Geez, mister. Honestly, he was, like that when we got here. Right, fellas?
Mister, I am an ambassador.
Let me see your identification.
Shut it, Bob. You are as clumsy as you are stupid. He doesn't have to show you your ID.
We don't need to see his identification.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Libsyn.com, and Stitcher Radio. The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, and I have a very big show for you guys in which we're going to do some sci-fi news and a couple of movie reviews. And joining me, we have the lovely Lizard.
Hello, I am the Lizard, a.k.a. Elizabeth.
Elizabeth the Lizard. And the magnificent Matthew.
Chance, the MC.
Chance, the MC?
Yeah.
What happened to the other name?
I mean, it doesn't go with my name like hers, so...
No, I guess not. Yeah. So, the man who hates everything that I like is joining us on a podcast.
Oh, gosh. Why are you so...
What? What am I saying that's different from what you always say about myself?
Stop exaggerating.
Exaggerating. What are you, scurred? I'm kind of starting this new year on this new direction. I'm trying to do this once a month with the peeps that I work with at the library. So trying to come up with a weird and cool sounding name for the group. And I was like, hey, let's do something called Council of Geeks or Symposium of Nerds or the League of Nerddom. And so far it looks like Symposium of Nerds might be the...
Yes, we like Symposium of Nerds.
So that'll be our name from this time forward. So let's get started. Real quickly, since we are having guests on this podcast, Liz, Erd, tell me a couple of things about what you're interested in general.
Okay, so I enjoy everything sci-fi
and space pants.
I do like a lot of horror stuff. My favorite author is Stephen King. However, I do enjoy all of the sci-fi stuff that is particularly my, I watch a lot of movies and TV series in relation to sci-fi, anything of interest, which I know we're going to be discussing later, but that is my general interest.
So a lot of sci-fi.
A lot of sci-fi. Yes.
I was waiting to say something else.
Thank you.
So we have sci-fi.
Yes. Okay. Sci-fi please.
Don't forget. And some more sci-fi. It's spelled differently. S-Y-F-Y. That's a whole different
right.
sci-fi.
Well, yes.
Yes, a sci-fi. Okay. So, you, Matt. Where's my muffin, Matt?
I ate that.
I know you do.
Just to make you miserable.
I know. So, what is it that you do besides get on my nerves?
I dislike all the movies instinctively that you like.
And it's now recorded officially. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Even if I generally think that they're good, I'll still say I don't like them.
Because I like them.
Because you like them.
Yeah. That's nice.
Once it has a Monty stamp of approval,
right.
It doesn't get a Matthew stamp.
What do you like?
I'm a big fantasy fan.
Crap.
I do like sci-fi myself a lot. Martial arts movies. I do watch anime every once in a while. That's about it.
Good God.
We're going to be talking about our first topic, which is Superman is going to be 80 years old. And the return of something that's been missing from his costume, which are his red trunks. So the question is, how important is it to the character that we change his costume? Or is it more fundamental that we change the character to do something different other than just change the damn costume? So I'll leave it up to either one of you to comment.
I'd like to say, you know, I don't think that it should be that important, although I'm sure there are a lot of people that are very, adamant about what is the costume that he wears. I think he should be able to change his tights accordingly.
Hopefully more than once a day.
Yes, hopefully.
And not turn them inside out.
Right.
Get a second day.
I am not really super familiar with Superman. That's not really been something that I have followed. However, I can see where some people would include that as part of their devotion to the genre and to Superman himself. So, you know, I would say I don't see why there's a problem, but I'll leave it up to my coworker to see what you say.
I think it's a very bad idea to put the briefs back on. I hate them with a passion. I mean, what do you need that for?
But is it the briefs or is it the whole...
Well, he had, over the years, changed. So had the trunks, then no trunks. You had a collar and then different color schemes and patterns. But I think the problem lies is that the character in himself, because he's been around for 80 years, you're just kind of painting a new color on the house and you're not really doing anything to address the character itself. So you can do something different. You can add kind of new powers like they did recently. Actually, not too long ago, but a couple of years ago. He becomes this super light, bright thing that he can discharge all his powers into this burst of light. And after that, he becomes kind of like you and me, powerless for like 24 hours.
Interesting.
And if I may add one comment, I mean, you know, not that I'm not really a Superman follower, like I said, but for many of the characters, I feel that they're coming out with a lot of these movies, you know, based on the original characters, and they are really changing up the costumes as to how they look. So, you know, some people might argue that it's not following in the tradition of how that person, you know, that hero or character used to be, and it's being changed. However, I feel like most people are probably going to be agreeable to it.
Well, like in Man of Steel, they got rid of the trunks because Zack Snyder. Again, it's Snyder's confused. Didn't like the trunks.
Right.
And sometimes when you do something in the movies, it looks better and not like the comics because Wolverine would be in those yellow spandex.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't really see.
And how about Wonder Woman? I mean, how can you argue with that change? She looks amazing.
I think they did a good enough job that I'm like, okay, it's not exactly the Linda Carter right. Stars and Stripes, but it's close enough that I'm happy with.
Right.
I think they did a good job with Wonder Woman because they actually made her look kind of like a warrior.
Right, yeah. Exactly. As opposed
she looked more like an Amazon.
Right. Versus a swimsuit that model.
In someone's mind.
Right, and not necessarily U.S. propaganda.
Yeah.
Right.
By Captain America, that's blatantly obvious.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. let's move on to our second topic, which is going to be about Star Trek.
Yes.
And the idea that Quentin Tarantino... it's strange to hear those words together... That Quentin Tarantino wants to do a Star Trek movie.
He's going to butcher it.
So the Nerdist put out a video showing what it kind of would look like based on old footage of the original series, which is really funny, and there will be a link in the show notes if you have not seen it. But I want to get your thoughts about, is this even a good idea for Quentin to do, or maybe Star Trek really needs to have something a little bit more bold and different?
Okay.
In general.
I'm going to run with this. Mm-hmm. I watched the trailer about this, and it was exactly what I expected per Quentin Tarantino. All the violent scenes, all of the, well, thusly why it's going to be rated R if this is actually something that's going to be happening. But the way that the scenes were put together, it was... I really enjoyed it. It's definitely Quentin Tarantino, although I'm not really sure. Like, I'm not sure if it's going to be more of the old scenes, or because I saw that he's trying to enlist, you know, some of the original actors.
I think Shatner is interested.
Yeah, Shatner.
Patrick Stewart.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Which I don't know how they're going to make that come together, but even in the little clip that I saw, I found it very entertaining. It's definitely got Tarantino written all over it.
Pulp Fiction mixed with Star Trek?
Yes, yeah. It's like Pulp Fiction mixed with Star Trek. So
I think that's going to ruin it for me.
I would like to see it. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I am interested because I am a Quentin Tarantino fan.
Me too, but that doesn't necessarily mean he has to put his hands on it.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a good thing. However, maybe it can be like a different perspective on it. I don't know.
I mean, is there a Tarantino movie you hated?
Kill Bill.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Both parts?
The first one was okay.
Okay.
It was okay.
See, when I say shit like, hey, I like Kill Bill, this is your moment to say, eh, I sucked.
No.
Kill Bill was okay.
Why
no,
was it just,
I love them all.
Why is it just okay? Not enough violence?
It was
female protagonist?
Did you think it was too corny?
Very.
Okay.
It was a little bit too corny. The fight scenes were horrendous. I don't know what he was trying to do. It looked like he was trying to put an anime in there somewhere.
Well, he mixed up the whole genre, and I think that was kind of what's interesting about
First
it.
First of all, Lucy Liu is in Japanese.
Yeah, but she plays it off well.
It's called acting.
She sucks at it.
She sucks at acting.
I don't
chop your head off. Just like this motherfucker here.
I think
that's why
that
she got hers chopped in half.
I think that she played that part very well, frankly.
I would love to have seen a whole movie just on her.
Yeah.
Because I love the anime, but I would love to have seen another continuation.
I'm not going to lie, that part where she stood up at the table and screamed at all of them, that was the best part of the movie. I appreciate that part.
So do you think... Considering how he has such a violent background in all these movies, how do you think that's going to translate to something that's sci-fi? I mean, what are you going to do that's going to be...
I mean,
that might be a hard transition. Sorry, not to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go.
I don't think he can apply his same method of madness to Star Trek. Mm. It would completely change not only the characters, but like the background and everything. Of the universe itself, the Star Trek universe.
And I have to agree with you in that respect. After having watched the little trailer, you know, it was focusing on all the, you know, on multiple negative scenes. Not negative, but maybe violent scenes.
Right.
Okay. And you know, they threw in some things where they're blurting out supposed curse words, which I don't really think were really there.
No, like, never were.
Yeah, it was just Vulcan, but it was supposed to be effing something. Anyway, so, you know, I think that you do have a point. I don't know where he's going to be able to go with that. Mm-hmm. I think, well, it'll be interesting to see. Nonetheless, however it comes out, I still want to see it. Yeah. So.
And I think that the problem also that I have is that he is really dead set on making this an R-rated Star Trek movie.
Right.
Which is what I'm very afraid of.
Yeah.
He's just going to add things in there that's really, really unnecessary. You don't need to add or somebody getting their head vaporized.
Well, in fairness, and I'm pretty sure you guys don't watch Star Trek Discovery, but...
I do.
Okay. So, you know, that because it's streaming, they're able to do a little bit more... I'd say risque, but a little bit more adult stuff.
Yeah.
They did curse a couple of times. They did show some graphic violence. Not really a whole lot. But, you know, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But Star Trek on the whole should not be... Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
Exactly. Right.
So, and I think for good and bad, everyone can kind of relate to Star Trek, but if... You make it an R rating, then you're going to be alienating
a whole population.
A whole population that cannot see a Star Trek movie.
That's true.
And I think that's maybe probably the wrong.
And then,
way.
Yeah,
future generations are going to have a different view on what Star Trek really is.
Right.
And so it's going to change the future movies.
Right.
And well, the expectations of it.
Right. Which is kind of how I feel about Star Trek Discovery because.
And if I can add like one more comment about that, you know. Like, apparently the last movie that William Shatner was in was, like, he died helping...
Right.
Okay, so...
Captain Picard, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. So how are they going to create another Star Trek? I mean, when there's already the Star Trek series going on, like Star Trek Discovery, which I absolutely love, but... Like, where are they going to take that if they're trying to bring back some of the old actors?
I think with what J.J. started, with the whole Kelvin timeline.
It's an alternate timeline type
right.
of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
The idea originally before Quinton came on is that he was going to somehow have Chris Pine as Kirk.
Right.
And Chris Hemsworth, who died in the first movie.
Yes.
Bring the two of them together somehow. That was the initial idea. That, what's his name? Scotty. Blanking out here.
Oh, gosh.
That guy.
That guy.
Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg was talking about that after writing the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if that's what's going to still happen, but you can still be in that universe. You can basically, I'm having the feeling that it's going to be time-related because he said... two of his favorite episodes were City on the Edge of Forever from the original series, and in Next Gen, it was Yesterday's Enterprise, in which we get Tasha Yar back again.
Okay.
With the Klingon
it's
War.
It's most likely going to how it happened.
It has to happen that way. So if you're going to go dark, you kind of have a reason to kind of go with that mirror universe or an alternate timeline to get really dark. And Discovery is in the mirror universe right now, so...
Right, and for me, Discovery has taken such a, like, unexpected yet welcome dark turn. Like, you know, being in the alternate universe, the violence and stuff that's happening there, I mean, it's like she has to embrace it, you know, our captain. And... you know, I think that there's a lot of potential there. So maybe, you know, maybe there's a lot more potential for something from Quinton than what we give credit for.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the way he's going to do it is not going to be as tasteful as what's in...
Well, yeah, that could be.
He's just going to throw it in your face.
Right.
That's his style.
So we'll see however it happens. And hopefully this going forward, we are going to get another Star Trek movie one way or another. Because, you know, Disney owns Star Wars. They're getting a Star Wars land. Universal is going to be doing something a la Star Trek-ish. So they need to have some kind of product.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So
it's going to come sooner or later. It has to come.
So we'll see how this all turns about. So on a kind of similar note, something old, new again. We have the RoboCop sequel, which is not the sequel to the reboot edition and not the sequel to the original, but a sequel to the first movie. Because I guess the original writer was saying that we're going to do it like what we did in the first one.
Right.
So,
which is a good thing.
Which we talked about briefly about RoboCop and how super violent it was and how it had almost an X rating.
Not Quentin Tarantino.
Not Quentin Tarantino, but, you know, it's Paul Verhoeven, so he's definitely... I don't think he's back for this project, but I'm just curious, do we want to have a RoboCop movie after all this time?
I think it would be pretty cool. I mean, there hasn't been a successful RoboCop movie since the first one, really and truthfully. And to see it done properly would be incredible. I personally love that movie. It was one of my favorites.
And aren't they talking about having some of the original writers?
Yeah, the original writer wants to do
the exact same.
Because of the way, like, the second one was supposedly shut down. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't too thrilled about it.
Yeah.
Not shut down, but...
It was scrapped. It was thrown up
right.
to the side.
And then third one, forget it. It's almost like it was a joke.
It was a waste
time.
Of time.
Right.
Yeah.
I did like the TV series for the most part.
That I didn't see. I can't comment on that.
Yeah. And I think, too, the commentary on the news reports kind of mirrored what they did in the movies. But I'm thinking because of the cinematic universe, like what Marvel is doing and building that universe out, you have one character. And the Mummy that tried to have his own little franchise kind of failed.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to see like a RoboCop universe?
I think you have an audience. I think there is an audience potentially waiting for that if it's the right thing, if it's the right product that they can deliver to us, you know. And if it's the first original writers, I think that, you know, that has a lot of potential. You know, I'd be really interested to see how that comes out.
I completely agree.
But would you go down the exact same road and making it super violent like it was?
I would keep to as close as the original as
possible. I would. I would stick with
if
the violence.
If that includes the violence, go for it.
I would stick with the violence. I think people are looking for that. I mean, you know, maybe it falls under the PG-13 rating or R or whatever, but...
I mean, it's not like how they're trying to change Star Trek with Quentin Tarantino.
Right,
it already has a history of violence, of established violence, so...
Right.
Changing that is going to change the movie, I think.
Yeah, I think
like they did with the last one.
Yeah, I really think that if they're trying to stick with that, they're going to have to deal with the violence that comes with it, so...
Well, I mean, if you look at, I don't know if you've seen John Wick, but
yeah,
that's another movie that is stylized with violence, and it's almost cathartic to watch a movie like this to get, not so much jollies off, but it when it's done right, you feel kind of an elation with, you know, the super guy, bad guy, you know, and the odds stacked against the good guy, and even that is now being spun off into a TV series plus another movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, I saw John Wick, and I felt like it was just nonstop action and violence.
Yeah.
But it was well done.
Right.
You know, and I would definitely watch another one.
It was
so
violent, but it wasn't gory.
No.
And I actually liked that about the movie. They actually pulled that off very well.
And Keanu actually did a nice job with that.
The gunfighting in that was second to none. I loved it. No, but for the most part, the rest of the movie sucks.
It was definitely like high action.
I mean, he goes and kills off a million guys because somebody killed his dog.
Right. Well, that's understandable.
I would too.
No.
There was a linchpin moment, you know. Because when my stepfather passed away, you know, my mom had a dog that they got when they moved out of Florida. That was the last thing that she had from him. And he got like a pork chop bone, and he ate it and then punctured his intestines, and he was going to an emergency. So she didn't want him to pass. So I understood that pain because that's the last remnants of the person you lived with for a long time. So I get it.
Well, my great-grandmother bought me a puppy. And guess what? The next-door neighbor ran it over.
and you killed the neighbor.
No. And I got over it.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't love the
puppy. That can't have been easy, though.
But your grandmother...
I didn't go and murk off the entire block in retribution.
Well. Yeah, but your grandmother was still alive, I'm assuming, right?
No, she died after she gave before she gave
okay,
it to me.
Fine. Oh, way to be a
Debbie
Downer.
Maybe that's why I don't own a dog anymore. It traumatized me.
No. No dog for you. All right, so that ends our sci-fi news portion. So we are going to be doing two reviews, which normally I kind of do that separate, but we're going to make this into one larger podcast. So we're going to be talking about Bright as well as Godzilla. They also appeared on Netflix. So let's talk about Bright. So who wants to, what's the order I put in first? So Lizard.
Okay.
Lizard.
So, Bright. I did enjoy this movie, despite the fact that, very honestly, it took me 3 times to watch the whole thing. Okay.
Only 3 times.
Only 3 times. Only however, I liked the story. I liked it. I felt that it may have been a little corny at places, you know, at times. Will Smith... To me, he seems to have that same type of character in a lot of his movies. Not that I didn't enjoy him, because I thought he was great, especially like at that moment in the movie when the other cops told him, look, it's either you or the orc, and, you know, it's up to you, and the elf, whatever. And he turned around, because he had the gun pointed at the orc, and then he turned around and... killed all the cops. You know, I really liked that. That was good. And I liked a lot of the car action driving scenes when the gangsters were chasing them to get the magic wand, and they ended up just in this whole gun battle. But it was a lot more than that, I felt. I felt it was nicely done. I did like the story. As I said, I did feel it had some corny moments, but... I did enjoy it. It was a little out there, you know, having the fairies and the orcs and the elves and everything, the elves being the aristocratic, which, you know, seemed to be all powerful. But anyway, I did enjoy it. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So let's hear how much you love this movie.
So similar to Lizard, it took me 3 tries to watch this movie.
Okay. Just to get through the first time.
Just to get through the first time.
Okay.
I actually had to stop watching it because that's how horrible it was to me. I mean, let's start with what I did like.
You like something from this movie?
Yes. It had some very pretty CGI and very pretty costumes.
Okay.
That was some really cool stuff. But other than that, it was a very empty movie. It was like you coming home after work and you're trying to cook something to eat and you just throw all the spoiled stuff in your fridge into a pot and that's what you get. That is what that movie is.
Ooh.
It's just a mixed mash of nonsense.
Or maybe you just don't know how to cook.
That too.
That too.
But or is it the pressure cooker doesn't know how to cook?
I think it has to do with you being the common denominator, not the food.
And not to mention all of the political themes going on in there. Fairies' lives don't matter. That's opening up with that, I was like, oh, come on. That's it. I'm done with this movie. That's why I couldn't watch it. And then the scene where the LA cops are brutalizing the orcs, I was like, dude, I don't want to see that in a movie. In a fantasy movie. And then on top of that, his character, Will Smith's character, stayed the same bitter cop all the way throughout the whole movie. He never changed, even at the end. He was the same thing.
I would disagree.
Why?
No, because he did kind of... Jacoby was something that he really hated. He really hated his partner, didn't want to be around him. But at the end, you know, the two of them went through hell, so to speak. And they're still not really friends, but...
He still didn't want to be around him at the end of the movie.
I think he has a better appreciation for his partner. Considering now how...
Is it because it's the orc, or is it because he just has a partner?
I think he has someone that has his back.
Okay.
Unlike
right.
the so it's
other,
not necessarily because he likes him.
Well, again, everything is really all corrupt across the board.
Because I think because the orc showed some sense of commitment to something other than himself.
Right. He's always said, I've been a cop since I've always wanted to run up all the way through my life.
Right.
So, and Will or Ward is always pressuring him and saying, you know, I'm not going to trust you because you got me shot, you know, and then finding out later on that he let the suspect go, only to be revealed, of course, spoilers, that he had the wrong person.
And besides the fact that he got stuck with the guy, you know, and he was the only cop in the whole, you know, Los Angeles Police Department that got stuck with an orc, you know, so, you know, that was hard to begin with. So there were, you know, there was a lot of pressure from the other.
Right. The whole world was watching at this moment.
Right. And they were all giving him a hard time about it. And they all wanted to get rid of the guy in various ways, which is, you know, again, you know, plot ruiner. But
if you've ever seen Training Day, that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to do a Training Day mixed with like Dungeons and Dragons or something. And it just.
Oh, well, it fell short of that. I would never
together well.
Training Day.
So you're saying there was a lack of 20-sided dice in this movie? It would have made it so much better.
No, it was a constant critical miss.
Oh, wow.
It rolled a one.
Okay. Well, the first time around, because I saw this twice. Yesterday, I saw this the second time with my wife. And first time around, I was like, I really should like this a lot more. Because...
No, you shouldn't.
Yes, I should. Because basically, it's... alienation, but in a fantasy setting. So instead of aliens from worlds way beyond us, it's this whole alternate story timeline with fairies and orcs and dragons and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I saw this when it first came out back in December, and again, I gave it almost 3 or 4 weeks before we saw it again. And I loved it a lot more the second time around. And again, the comment that I have is his partner, Jacoby, in which I love looking at realistic makeup.
Yes, that was awesome. Like I said.
Every once in a while, I miss this, but when he gets angry, his little ears kind of twitch in response, or his nose will flare out.
Flare out, yeah.
So those are the kind of little moments that I completely miss, but I loved his performance. And then overall, I think there was a lot of things that I'm like, it just went right over my head the first time about the storyline, and I thought the whole world building was just not there, unlike Alienation. But this one, it was okay. I felt you set up that world enough to let's explore that for the next time and just kind of give a little piecemeal information here and there. Will Smith, on the other hand, is just like, oh, hell no, to like, I'm 5 years from retiring, which is kind of like the Donald Glover character from Lethal Weapon. I'm like, so he's retiring into that area.
Getting too old for this shit.
Exactly. Oh, hell, I'm too old for this shit. So that's what I'm just like, okay, it's fine. So I got over my Will Smith-ness that he always does, but it was okay. But overall, I don't think it's as bad as many people think it is, only because I was able to check, and I hate saying this, I hate to check my brains at the door. I was able to go with it. There are some movies like Waterworld. I know it's a disaster, but I can watch Waterworld and still be entertained.
Actually, I was entertained in that. It wasn't a good movie.
No, it's not. But,
but you can still be entertained.
Right, you can still watch.
I felt that way too. Yeah.
Kevin Costner.
It's been some time.
Him and his gills.
Yeah. Drinking pee.
Drinking pee.
Oh, my.
Why are they all dirty if they're all in the water?
Good God.
Because they don't know soap. No one owes a goddamn bar of soap.
I mean, but salt water smells good, though.
It must be all that
semen. And it cleans the bacteria.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know why they all look dirty.
Exactly. Dirty ass.
Must be the rust from the boats.
Any case, we are getting a second movie. David Ayer is going to be directing. We are getting Will Smith back, as well as Joel Edgerton to do Jacoby. Different writer, but I think.
I'm surprised, that actually, that they would do a sequel of that.
It was almost within a couple of days after it was released.
Wow.
They just said, well, let's do it.
Huh.
So even though it had horrible reviews from a lot of fans and critics, Netflix felt, hey, let's do another movie. And I'm actually not. I think my problem is that this could have been better as a TV series.
Yes. Yeah.
You can spread it out more. The reveal.
That's what they should have done.
The reveal of him being a Bright could have been the Caesar Ender. Or him, his Jacoby being the orc who's bloodied, fulfilling a prophecy, also could have been a season ender. So again,
they could have done some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
They
so, but for the most part, it was fine. I'm kind of cool with that. Oh, and two, because we are in the library, Hoopla has the soundtrack for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Go Monty, advertise.
There you go. For Bright.
Sweet.
And it's a really good soundtrack. And I love the opening song, you know, the Forgotten People, whatever that mm-hmm. thing is.
Yeah.
And then Netflix has 4 music videos that I watched the other day for Bright.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of cool just kind of being in that world. All right. So, again, Matthew has poor judgment, like always, but that's okay. We'll just move on.
No. So, this is coming from people who eat lizards for jelly. And
why?
Inject Coke.
No, I don't inject Coke. I drink Coke.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So let's move on to Godzilla, Planet of Monsters, or Planet of the Monsters. So, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Let us know your thoughts about this.
I thought it was the most unique perspective on a kaiju.
Which I'm surprised, because you don't like anything.
I actually really enjoyed it. It was a really well-done movie. That moment when he killed the little Godzilla at the end.
Which we did not believe that was even another one.
And he got all happy and everything, and then he sees this big giant thing just rise about the earth. I mean, I'd have been like, man, I'm going home. I'm done. I'm going back on the ship. It was a good movie. And they had enough plot building in it to make it coherent, which is interesting because most Godzillas aren't.
Right, you don't give a crap about the humans.
Exactly.
You just want to see them fight.
Mm-hmm. But they actually give a little bit of politics and background into what's going on. And I thought that was very unique. I enjoyed it as a movie.
Okay.
Lizard.
So, the lizard says...
The lizard says...
The cold-blooded lizard.
The cold-blooded lizard. I did enjoy the movie. I have not seen a lot of anime movies. It's not really my choice of movie. However, I did enjoy it. And, of course, I've seen a lot of the old Godzilla stuff. So I was sort of, thinking about that when I watched this. I do agree with you, Matthew, about the, the storyline. However, I did feel that they got a little carried away with it, meaning, every character had this whole long soliloquy of the reason why this happened and the reason why this was happening, and then it was the reason why that was happening, and it was like, okay, can we just see a little more Godzilla, I mean, not to say that I didn't enjoy the movie, but I felt like the dialogue was a bit long. And maybe that is just due to my, lack of really watching a lot of anime. I have seen some other anime movies, which I've enjoyed. And I know that a lot of what they put in there is the background. And they always seem to put in a lot of
they like to establish the
thoughts
characters.
And feelings about why this or that is happening. And, okay, this is the reason why. And blah, 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 blah. Okay, so, I would definitely watch the next one. I definitely would. Mm-hmm. I just want to see a little more Godzilla. I kept waiting for him, and I know he's a big creature. Being a lizard, I can understand that. But he was like, just coming up, and it's like, he's moving slow because he's a large creature. I just want a little more action. Not like old school Godzilla action, because that was just ridiculous.
Well,
but
he did have a little bit of action. He just wiped
out
everybody
did.
In a split second.
No, I know. He swiped with the tail. And then
he roared.
He swiped left.
He did roar. Yes, and swipe left. Whenever you swipe left. However, I really did enjoy it. I liked the idea. I liked the whole sci-fi aspect of it.
That was amazing.
I did enjoy a lot of the technological stuff that they had going on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's more than I've seen in most anime movies that I have seen. So I thought that was good. They had a nice combination of, you know, anime and a little bit of, you know, whatever the CGI is or whatever that they use. I would definitely watch CGI. The next one. So, you know, I saw that it is a series, so I'm actually looking forward to see the second one.
So to sum up, you want to see less of the pizza man delivering the pizza, talking to the customer to actually... Here's your pizza.
I want to see you eat the pizza. Yes.
Pizza.
Yes, pizza.
I actually want to know what toppings you're putting on my pizza. No, Is it organic cheese?
You want the Godzilla money shot, basically.
I do want the money shot. No, I appreciate the background, you know, because I know that that does create a lot of the storyline, you know, and that has a lot to do with it. But at the same time, I waited so long to see Godzilla.
They did that on purpose to establish what they're going to be doing in the next two movies.
Right, like that's what I'm hoping for.
However many there
That's
are.
What I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that there's going to be a little bit more mm-hmm. coming in the future.
Because now we have especially, an alien race involved, and that's never happened
especially
in any
when
other
they Godzilla. Supposedly killed Godzilla, and then the new, maybe quote-unquote mega-Godzilla came
up the daddy.
From the Earth. That was the
daddy. Or the mommy.
Well,
or the original... OG.
We
both.
Don't know, you know, I guess we don't know. So my background on Godzilla isn't that detailed enough to really know. But anyway, I'm hoping for the best.
And they also spoke about the other kaiju in there too. So I imagine that they're going to be putting them in there.
Well, hence the name Planet of the Monsters.
Exactly.
Not just one.
Right.
Not me.
And which I'm curious as to why didn't Godzilla go and kill off the other ones?
And I kept wondering about the flying ones. That's the kaiju?
No, the kaiju is the big, really, really big monsters.
Oh, okay.
Monsters.
Well,
what
but
about
they,
the...
They'd say they it, were kind of related.
Yeah,
okay.
Related.
Like an offshoot of Godzilla.
Okay.
Dragon-looking things?
Yeah. I would say the anime style, I don't know if you've seen Knights of Cydonia.
That's a good show.
Exact same kind
it's
of
the same. Style. It's the same
right,
studio.
Right. So I was kind of on board with that. I would agree. The whole setting up that whole universe with the people and them leaving Earth and then having this kind of backstory of, well, because they're old, we're going to put them on that planet and see if they can explore. But they're
socialism.
Gonna be, and which I want you to bring that up. and killing the old people because they don't have enough resources. And I'm like, okay.
Socialism.
And then they come back and then they have another opportunity to go back and try to kill Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And usually it's like with any Godzilla movie, it's the last 30 to 20 minutes of the big G you want, and you get your action, you're fine.
Right.
But here it was just, even though it was kind of slow in the middle, I was still engaged enough that I'm like,
I was still interested,
it had a good payoff. So I was
engaged too, I have to say. I was engaged.
Yeah, and normally you really don't give two craps about anyone
yeah.
in that movie. I don't care who you are. I think the last one, Edward, what's his name? The one who directed the American Godzilla
mm-hmm.
one. I love that American production because I like the characters enough to follow them and actually care.
Is that the one with the soldier where the main character is the soldier?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Elizabeth Olsen and what's his name who played Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm actually happy with
that. It was actually pretty decent. I thought it was going to suck.
Talk to me about this whole idea about Godzilla and the socialism.
Man, just that opening scene hurt me, man. I mean, socialism is when you put the needs of the majority above the needs, above the rights of the individual. And that's what they did. They compromised their morals.
I don't think that's how socialism works.
Have you ever read the Communist Manifesto? That's the perfect example of socialism.
So basically,
I'm going to reserve comment at this point.
Please, I mean, go out and read the book.
They become soiling green, in other words.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes.
No, that's not how it works.
That's how socialism works, man.
Dude, it's like Battlestar Galactica. It's a matter of survival, and
no.
not everyone's going to survive.
No, you don't sacrifice people like that.
Why would you sacrifice a ship to put the people on there? I'll just space them. I'm not going to waste a good ship.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if they voluntarily did that,
no,
then
they
that's
didn't
different.
What are they going
to
fight?
That's different.
Okay,
that's different.
But wait, okay.
But they
if we're talking about, you know, the sacrifices they have to make to, you know, make the discoveries or do the things they have to do, there's always going to be some human lives lost, right? I mean, that's not an abnormal thing. That
is different than you saying, okay, Liz, Monty, do you guys need to die because there's not enough food in this building or air in this building for everybody to live, and we can't leave? How would you feel if that happened to you?
Okay, well,
I would say, Matthew, you can take my place.
I know you would.
I can say if I'm in charge, you're going to be the one who gets
to. I say we draw straws for it.
But one of the things is just man is always trying to control nature, and nature is really, in this case, fucking them over because it's...
And I like that point in the movie that they made was that they were too arrogant,
right?
In other words.
Yeah.
But it was also kind of a touching moment that the... was it the spores that adhere to the buildings? Of course, the buildings crumbled, but it retained the regular
shape of the.
And
that was very interesting.
He got on his hands and knees, like, you remembered us still.
Yes.
And I was just like, holy crap, that's actually a touching moment
there. It was very, very.
Like, in deference to the spores, right?
Yeah. And then he called it Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earth is our mother.
Right. Or the guy, which, you know, no one really pays attention how it's still a living, breathing thing.
Mm-hmm.
My thing that I kind of got confused at the beginning is that, okay, they were building Mecha Godzilla with the help of the aliens,
right,
the Exifs, whatever you want
to. Yeah, the Exifs.
So I didn't understand what happened until I reread it. I'm like, oh, they could not launch the Mecha Godzilla. So obviously, I'm assuming the second one, they're going to have to find.
And then one of the Exifs said something interesting about the Mecha Godzilla, too, in the movie. They said that. We weren't even sure if we were able to control it.
Right.
If we do release it, so I thought that was pretty that setting something up.
Right. So I'm thinking the second one, did you see the post credit scene?
No, they had a post then.
They had a post. Yeah.
What was it?
I missed that.
All right. So the guy who got in, who became now the leader,
the captain,
Haru, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Haru.
Yeah.
So he wakes up. And there's a girl in a hut, and she takes off
a
mask.
They showed her earlier.
Yeah, they took off the mask, and he's waking up because he has no mask. So that's how it ends.
Just I did not quick. See that.
Yeah, it's like 2 seconds.
Oh.
So he's waking up in a hut, and he sees a girl taking off a mask, and she looks at him, and you see him without any helmets. So,
wow.
So we'll see how that happens.
They did show her earlier in the movie, which I thought was interesting, and never explained it.
Right.
They never showed her again, so it's pretty cool.
There has to be natives, so that's kind of cool.
Where they evolved from?
Who knows?
Plant cell?
Who knows?
Could be.
There is a prequel, sort of, if you know how to read Japanese.
I'm sure we can figure it out.
It's called Godzilla Monster Apocalypse. So there is a paperback prequel.
Is it a light novel or a manga?
I don't know if it's a novel, a manga, however, but it's published overseas, so I tried looking up online. It's not available to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought that's kind of interesting because I started kind of get into kaiju books, and now I thought about reading kaiju stories, you know.
So what would you think about that Godzilla versus a King Kong?
There will be no King Kong.
Okay.
Because
thank you.
I looked up on a video about the size of that Godzilla. It's as tall as the Eiffel Tower, and the knee of that Godzilla is the tallest from the Shin Godzilla of that height,
mm-hmm.
which is the tallest one up to date. So this one is like 3 times as tall as any other Godzilla that ever existed. So
I mean,
it is massive.
It shot a wind blade out of its tail, man. I've never seen that before. I was like, damn, bro.
So, and there's no Godzuki.
Thank God. I used to hate that. Oh, my God. Hey, Godzuki.
So, thank God for little things like that.
Oh, my God.
So, we give it a positive spin on Godzilla. Some of us didn't like Bright. It's okay. We still like you.
The one with taste.
Matt.
Monty.
All right. So, we're going to now end the podcast, but before we do, we're going to talk about something that what we're reading, we're watching, doing, whatever that we may think you at home who's listening to the podcast may be liking as well, or should like. So let's start off with, actually, Matthew.
Me?
You go first.
I can't think right now. I'm tired.
You never think.
Exactly.
You cannot
think. No, you're reading and watching stuff at home. You've told me.
And at work.
Have I?
Instead of working?
Don't say that in front of my boss, please. That's not cool.
Dude, I work with her.
I work with her. The last show I really, really, really enjoyed watching was Dark Matter. It's ended now.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's ended now, but that's really the only thing I've been recently watching. I haven't watched anything else.
Okay. So, Liz.
Okay, so.
Star Trek.
I have a bit of a list, but I'll make it quick. Stuff I've been reading. Right now, you know, I'm constantly reading something. I actually came across American Gods by Neil Gaiman. This was a series on TV as well. I forget which.
Is it Showtime?
I think it may be.
Okay.
So they had a full season of it. Very interesting, very bizarre, yet so engaging. So I'm hoping that they're going to do a second season, but I came across actually a paperback version of it, which has about supposedly like 12,000 more words than the originally published one. So that's what I'm reading right now. I tend to read a lot of horror. Before that, I was reading Stephen King. Stephen King is one of my favorites, and apparently his son, Owen King, is now trying to go into that genre. So they wrote a book together called Sleeping Beauties. I just finished reading that. It was okay. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't give it a, you know, 100%, but I did enjoy it. It was sort of about like a pandemic kind of thing called Pandora, where women were, when they would fall asleep, they would have this sort of growth go over them, and they would actually go into another reality or dimension or something like that. And it was only the women. So that was very interesting. So as far as like sci-fi, you know, I usually read sci-fi. I read other stuff, but my favorite stuff to read before that was anything Mike Mignola.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all over that. Anything he writes, I'm just dying for him to write something else. I've read all the Hellboys, all the BPRD. He's got a Batman version. He has a DC Universe where it shows, and this is actually pretty cool. It's got all of his original artwork, like from his early days, which it's not so identifiable at that point, but you can see it as it transitions into his style. Mm-hmm. And super, super fantastic. I recommend it. But I'm very much into the Dark Horse, which is the comic brand now. It's not DC or Marvel or what have you. And they have some other ones that
Dark
I'm
Horse
into.
Dark Horse makes some good stuff. They made Avatar.
Very good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sir Edward
Which was
Gray,
really, really cool.
Witchfinder, Lobster Johnson, Baltimore. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff there. I've also read some novels by Mignola. He is a good writer. It did take me a while to transition because I couldn't see the pictures. You know, it was like, I need to see the pictures. But Joe Gollum in the Drowning City, Baltimore, The Steadfast Tin Soldier.
My
also, E-Resources, real quick. Mm-hmm. Which we have in the library. It's The Amazing Screw-On Head and Other Curious Objects. It is actually a, it's an e-resource, and it's also a an animated short that I was able to find through streaming video. Absolutely, really funny, really cool, unexpected. A lot of character, major actor voices in that, so I recommend that. And my shows that I watch, People of Earth, I'm waiting for that to come back around. Travelers, Stranger Things, Star Trek Discovery, Happy, which is very bizarre. I believe that's on sci-fi.
Yes.
But I highly recommend it. And that's pretty much it. So. That's it for me.
You see, Matthew, that's okay. A good list.
Okay.
I can't think of anything right
I now. Did my research. No, I mean, these are the things. You know, sometimes you forget the things that you watch because there's so many shows, and then they come and they go.
Yeah.
And you
I get
kinda,
really bored of
you
things quickly. So.
Well, and you lose track, too, mm-hmm. You know. And they don't have another series, and you're like, they don't have another season, and you're like, why? Why?
So for me.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do a lot more reading, because I...
Did you read?
Yeah.
Incredible.
I know. I'm a librarian. I should be reading, damn it. So one of the things that I've been kind of getting into are crossovers. Through our library, so Electronic Source, through Hoopla, there are a couple of books that I really liked, and they're having to do with Planet of the Apes, crossing over with Green Lantern... Another one, Planet of the Apes, crossing over with Star Trek.
Really?
And then I'm reading this one, Tarzan on the Planet of the
That's
Apes.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
So talk about having a weird reaction to just like the idea of crossing these two worlds all the way through.
So why is it always Planet of the Apes?
It's a brand.
Oh.
So they kind of explain how the hell did Tarzan get on the Planet of the Apes? You have Star Trek interacting with Planet of the Apes. So basically, it's their own universe. They're not necessarily like connected, meaning what happened in with the lanterns kind of carries
so
over.
So kind of like
it's a self-contained story. I think the Star Trek one is a little slow, but they bring the Charlton Heston character into the mix with that story. But the Green Lantern is a lot quicker to read and is more enjoyable because Cornelius has the ring, kind of like a Lord of the Rings, that has all the colors. So depending on the mood he is in, it changes the color of the ring and the costume. So Sinestro is trying to get that one ring.
The one ring.
The one ring to rule them all by. That doesn't sound familiar. But it's very enjoyable. But I think what I'm liking about this is that The storyline with the Tarzan is that the apes, like an escape from the Planet of the Apes, that go back in time, wind up going back into the 1900s, our time.
Wow.
So the apes that survive is Cornelius and Zira, and there are other apes that talk with them. So they kind of are considered not full apes, but like false apes. But then Tarzan is in the mix too. So I'm thinking... I'm on board. Although they kind of switched to present day or 2016 with Tarzan fighting more apes from the traditional Planet of the Apes. But I'm only on episode or chapter 4. I got 2 more chapters to go. So hopefully they will explain how the hell this happened. I think we're done. We are actually done. So on that note, I want to thank Lizard.
Thank you, Monster.
Thank you, Monster.
Thank you, Monster Sir.
Thank Monster you. Sir.
Thank you, MC Chance.
Yeah, MC Chance, you're not a rapper.
Do you know what that stands for?
Can't hear.
Microphone conductant.
No,
really?
It stands for your name.
Jesus.
Get over it.
All right. So, if you have enjoyed the new Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast, how can you join us? Well, you got to work with me first.
We hope you've enjoyed it too.
But if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, especially about MC over there, email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. You can find me on the various social sites. So again, thank you to my guests. So thank you for listening to us on the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast.
Thanks for having us, Monty. Monster.
Yeah.
Thank you for Mr. Monster.
And the pizza and the soda.
And the pizza.
Yes, thank you for all the goodies.
So, on that note, it's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
Peace out.
Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.